أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكْ وَسَلِّمْ. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكْ وَسَلِّمْ. اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَبَارِكْ. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. So this is basically, this ayat is basically, if you recall the ayat number before that, ayat number 131 was talking about that particular aspect when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam was in the whole situation, and he said, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him that, you know, that you have to bring iman, or you know, you just submit to Allah ta'ala. So he said, I submit to Allah ta'ala, who is the Lord of the world. He is basically the Lord of everything, Rabbul Alameen, basically, right? So this is linked to the last ayat, but also, you know, starting off another particular topic that we are going to talk about, which is basically the time of Hazrat Ibrahim and Yaqub alayhi salam, when they were parting ways from this world and they were moving on with the other part of their lives. Wawassa biha Ibrahim. Now, wawassa, and when Ibrahim alayhi salam and Yaqub alayhi salam, they gave will or you know, enjoined by way of will. Will basically as in, you know, the wasiyat that you know, that we call in Urdu, that, you know, when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam enjoined upon them or gave upon them the will, and Yaqub alayhi salam also gave them the will, as in the wasiyat, banihi, as on their sons. Now, we all know that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam also had Ismail and Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam as his sons, and Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam also had 12 sons, as we all know. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam was also Hazrat Yaqub's son, and he had 11 further brothers. So we are talking about that particular time when these two great messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were leaving this world. And this time of leaving this world is, you know, is a very critical time, right? This is a time when people are worried about so many things, and a lot of people, you know, it's that phase when everything in your life is like summing up, and you know, I have to now move on, right? It is that particular aspect of life, and this is the crux, right? And at this point in time, you want to talk about the important things, the things that matter to you the most, right? And you don't know when is going to be your last moment. You know that, you know, my last moment is coming and I will go. I will just now leave. And you talk about the crux of your life and the crux of your experiences. So for example, if you and I were leaving, let's say we were to part our ways forever, you know, and you would ask me, or I would ask you, on what is the one thing that is most important thing that I should take care of, you would give me that one most important thing, and you leave aside the rest of the things anyways, because you would understand that if this one particular thing is right in terms of whatever, then you can, the rest of the things can be right. So for example, if you were leaving, let's say if you were going for a new job or you were starting a new career, you would say that, you know, what is your career advice, give me one advice. So whatever advice that is given to you, you will say that advice, because that advice will be the crux of how you will succeed in everything else, right? Similarly, this time period is important, that Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam and Ibrahim alayhi salam are basically telling their children on how to further go about the most important aspect, which is your life. How do you manage your life? So he says, Ya bunayya inna Allah astafa lakumud deena. Ya bunayya, as in, oh my sons. You understand that even in this, at this point in time, when they are, you know, about to leave this world and the difficulties and all those things, they address their children with Ya bunayya, oh my sons, oh my dear sons. Does not say Ya ibn, Ya warad, Ya gulam. Gulam is also boy, warad is also son, but they say Ya bunayya. So what do we get out of there is that it is important to talk to your children and talk to your loved ones with words that create that love in their heart. that make them more receptive towards you. What we do today is that when we are talking to our younger ones, either younger siblings or children or those who are under us, or those who are who we feel that we are in any way, you know, responsible for them, we tend to talk to them in very harsh words and very harsh tones, right? So we talk to, we will just call the maid with her name or the driver with his name. You could call him Adnan Sahab, but you may just call Adnan, right? And you could call your son with, you know, my dear son, mere pyare bete, but you just say, you know, just take the name and come here, idhar aao, you could say idhar aaiye. And in fact, one of the things that I've learned from Sheikh Hazrat Sahab is that, you know, you call your everyone around you with respect and with aap, as long as the mutual respect is there. So Hazrat calls everyone with aap. He calls all his murids aap, all his students aap, and everyone around him with this word of respect. So the word of respect and the word of love is important, so that people are more receptive. Because the more love you show towards them, people become more and more receptive towards your good advices. So especially when you are giving advice, especially when you have that niyat of tarbiyat, you should give your younger ones that due. You should address them in a way that makes them more receptive towards what you are going to say next. You should never be starting off in a harsh tone. So this is a wasiya. This is that crux of the thing that he is going to say. So it is going to be very, very important. So what does he do? He says, Ya Bunayya, O my dear sons, O my sons, so that they are receptive towards Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, that our father is, you know, going to talk about something really nice, something really important, and he's addressing to us in such a nice tone, such a nice way. And what does he say? Inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for you the deen. The deen, the true religion, the deen of Islam. He has, Inna Allah astafa, verily Allah ta'ala has chosen for you the deen. Now, this wasiyat, this is the wasiyat that is starting. Inna Allah astafa lakum ad-deen. Right? This is the first part of the wasiyat. Right? Now, imagine, this wasiyat basically means that this is that one important thing that they are going to talk about. Now, whatever is important in our lives, we try and talk about that. That is the crux. And when we are parting ways with someone, we will talk about that important experience that we've had, so that the other person can, in the light of that experience, learn from it and, you know, try and implement it in whatever aspect of life that we're talking about. Now, the Anbiya, Salatu Wassalam, are basically people whose whole life, the one thing that they all talk about in their lives is what? Allah Ta'ala. And submission to Allah Ta'ala, and being a mu'min and being a Muslim, and, you know, all those things. That is, the deen is their priority number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 100, 1,000, whatever. Their whole life is basically about deen and about how deen should be implemented in our lives, right? That is why they are brought into this world, and that is their job. That is all that they do, right? You don't ask that, okay, what was the profession of Hazrat Ibrahim al-Islam, or what was the profession of Hazrat Isa al-Islam, or Prophet al-Islam? Their job was to bring this deen to the people, to bring it to as many people as possible, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whatever is it in your life, when you are giving your final advice, final wasiyat, you're going to talk about that, right? That is how it is. Whatever is it in your heart, you are going to talk about that only. If dunya was in your heart, your wasiyat would be, I will give you a tip about how to earn more money. Oh my son, do not trust strangers, right? Do not trust my partner. He was not very good in the business. He was not very sound. Oh my son, make sure that you remember to take that money out of that person. Whatever is your priority and whatever has been the crux of your life, you're going to talk about that, right? But the Anbiya, their lives were about the work of deen. So they are going to talk about the deen. Obviously, that's the first lesson that we have to that we understand from here. So the first thing is that if you have a life on deen, you're going to talk about it. That's going to be very important. And the second thing is that we learn is that the Anbiya, Salatu Wassalam, their job about delivering this message to people was so important to them, so important to them, that even on deathbed, even when they were leaving this world, they still managed, they still talked about this part only. Talked about deen. Bring deen in your life, that you know you have deen in your life. That is what they talked about, that every moment was a dawat. Every moment was a message towards the people to bring them towards deen. And it did not matter whether they were strangers or they were their own sons or whoever or their own family. It was about reinforcing the message over and over and over and over and over again. This also tells us that sometimes we think, oh, now we know this part. Or, you know, we are already on deen and, you know, we do not need to be always, you know, don't, let's not make it this thing on our head that, you know, oh, my friend, why is he always telling me about this? Because those things are important. Reinforcement is important. And reinforcement comes by being with people who can reinforce it. Just like the sons of the messenger were reinforced in this wasir. And imagine how Ibrahim al-Islam is telling his sons, who were also messengers. And what kind of sons? Hazrat Ismail al-Islam, who when he was told that, you know, I have seen a dream in which, you know, I am sacrificing you for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not ask any other thing. He said, fine, let's, you want to do it? I am ready. When do you want to do it? Let's go right now. So a son who had submitted his life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already, he is being reinforced that you should follow the religion. You should, the deen is priority. So the first thing is that, you know, you talk to it, when you need to give a message to people, you talk to them nicely, talk to them with words that will make them more receptive. The second thing is that the Anbiya salatu wasalam, basically their job was to deliver the message, and they delivered it at all times. And the third thing is that you will only wasiyat about things that are the most important to you. And in that respect, when we give our wasiyat and when we give advices, we should also understand that we should give advices from the aspects of, we should not look at it from a short term or a medium term point of view. We should look at it from a long term point of view. Alhamdulillah, we are in positions that, you know, people would come to us for some advice, or friends, you know, they talk to us, whatever. And in that respect, you should understand that giving an advice is like, it has a right, the other person has a right on you. Right, which means that you should give an advice which is basically based on what? Which is basically taking care of their short-term and long-term needs. Right? It should be the best advice possible. And when you give an advice which is in line with the deen, you are giving them a short-term and a long-term good advice. It is not something that you're saying, yes, you should make more money, okay. But when he says deen, it is covering the dunya as well. Right? It is covering all aspects of deen. So he says, they say, Inna Allah astafa lakumuddin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen the deen over you, for you. And what does chosen the deen for you mean? This basically means that, you know, it could mean two things. One is this path of deen, this work of deen that Allah ta'ala has chosen for you. And it could also mean that from the two choices that were there, the deen and the dunya, Allah ta'ala has chosen deen for you. So the path to success is deen. That is what Allah has chosen for you. Now it is up to you how you bring it in your life. So Allah Ta'ala has defined that if you want to be successful, I have given you a path. This, I have chosen this path on which if you will tread, you will be successful. But if you choose some other path, you will not be successful. So Allah Ta'ala has defined a path for you. He has chosen the deen for you. So as long as you are on the deen, as long as you are on the deen, you will be successful. And if you are away from the deen, you will not be successful. So Inna Allah astafa lakumuddin fala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. And do not die. So do not die illa, except that wa antum muslimun, except that you are a Muslim. Do not die except that you are Muslim. Imagine what he's saying. No one can stop death, right? No one can stop it. But the Messenger of Allah, such a great Peygamber of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is saying, do not die until the time that you are a Muslim, until the time that you are into Islam, right? Until the time that this deen becomes your priority, do not even die, do not die. What does that mean? Now, death is not in anyone's control. It will come at any time, at its own will, and no one can stop it. right? And when death comes, no one can say, oh, I need 5 more minutes, I need to pray one more rakat. I need, people die in all situations and everything. So why does he say, do not die until you are Muslim? What does this signify? It means that, you know, like we say in our expression, don't do this until you are ready for this, or don't do this until you are ready for this. When he's saying, and he's giving an example of, when he's saying do not die until you are Muslim, it means two important things. First is that the objective of your life has to be submission, right? The objective of your life is submission. If your life is not there, if you do not live a life according to it, then you know, then you should be afraid. So do not go to that path, do not live your life like that when you are not a, when you're not a true believer, you're not a Muslim. But it also means it's an action. It is what we call in our marketing terms, this is an action-oriented statement. This is basically act now. Just like, you know, you see those things, buy now, get the 50% discount. This is what it is. Act now. Do not die, which means you have to be a Muslim, you have to submit now. It's a call for action, because you don't know if you will die the very next moment. So don't wait that, oh, when I will grow old I will start to do this, oh, I need 5 more years, I need 2 more years, I need 5-10 more years. No, act now. Act now. You should start now. You should not wait that, you know, you have your own sweet time, and whenever you want to do things, you can do these things. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die, which means do not live a single moment without being sure that you have submitted. Submit it fully right now. Don't be like this that, you know, and this is a common thing, you know, we are selective people, we are selective Muslims, so we say that, you know, we're doing this and we're happy with this and we will do this thing further on, later on. Hum kal karke dekhte hain, parson karke dekhte hain. Don't wait. Don't think that, you know, there will be another moment, another time, another hour, another year, another month, whatever. Don't wait. Whatever you think, submission is complete. Udkhulu fis silmi kaffa. Enter Islam completely, right? Do not just leave it to some time period that, you know, or something that, you know, I will do this today, or this is where my limit ends. No, it has to be complete submission, and that is what you need to do. If you postpone it, you're not sure whether you're going to live for the next moment or the next day or something like that. So this thing, do not die until you're a Muslim, is an action statement. And also it means that, you know, in another terms, it can also mean that, you know, you should also be aware of your internal condition. At any point in time, you should not be doubtful that, you know, you should not have that ghafla in your heart that, you know, bahar se to aap musalman hai, but you know the submission phase is not there. So at every point in time that you do, you submit, you check, what does Sharia say, what does Allah Ta'ala say, how is it that I can make Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala happy, what is the sunnat of this work? That is when you are فَلَا تُمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. That is when you are submitting to yourself truly. So har lamhe you have to be hoshiyar, you have to be awake about yourself. There should be no moment passed without this particular thing. So ayah number 133, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَٰهَكَ وَإِلَٰهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ. أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتُ. So were you there, did you witness when Yaqub al-Islam was approaching death, right? So this is talking about, basically the background of this is that, and which is connected with the previous ayah, background of this is that the Yahuds, you know, the Jews, they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said that, oh, well, you know, the Hazrat Yaqub al-Islam, when he was, because they're called Bani Israel, right? So it comes from Hazrat Yaqub al-Islam. So he said, Hazrat Yaqub al-Islam, basically, when he was leaving this worldly abode, he said that, he told his children, he did this wasiyat, that you should all be Yahudis and you should, you know, stick to this deen, right? So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is saying, he's telling everyone that, were you there when Hazrat Yaqub was approaching death? That's the first thing. You weren't there. So you don't know how it happened, right? And that's the saying that you weren't there, you did not know. Am kuntum shuhada hazar Yaqub al-maut? Were you there? When death was approaching Yaqub, and he said, Is qala li banihi, and he said to his children, and it is again in continuation with the same thing, the same wasiya that he was saying. He said to his children, Ma ta'buduna min ba'di. So who will you worship? Ma ta'buduna min ba'di, after I am not there, after me. Once I have left this world, who will you worship? My job was to give you the message, I have told you the message. But you can go astray as well. Like the previous messengers, Nuh alayhi salam's son also went astray. Right? Hazrat Lut alayhi salam's wife also went astray. Right? So, am kuntum, ma ta'buduna min ba'di. So, who are you going to worship after I have left? Imagine again, imagine the scenario. An old man is on the deathbed, about to leave this world. What is he doing? He's not talking about, oh my, I have this land. So how will the 12 of you divide it, right? He's not talking about how will you do other things. He's not talking about that. He's talking about what? He's talking about how will you live your life? Who will you please? What will be the aim and core objective of your life? That is what this is all about. That making deen, making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your priority number one. And such a big priority number one that even at the time of leaving this world, the priority remains the same. Being an obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And priorities, people have different priorities. I just remembered a small incident. Someone told me that there was this very rich seth in Faisalabad. So he met this guy who's a very religious guy, and he said, why, and he was about to die and everything. So he said, I want to make a last wish, but these children just don't listen to me. So the guy was very religious, the guy who he was talking to. So that guy said, that, well, you know, tell me and I will talk to your children that, you know, it's your last wish and it is important that it is fulfilled and you've given your life to these children. He said, see, when Seth so-and-so died, and then Seth so-and-so died, and Seth so-and-so died, these all started our business in the same time. And we were initially partners and left. I'm just forgetting some details. So, I mean, basically he said, you know, we all started off together and all those people and stuff like that. And you know, when he died, that Seth died, he died, there were, his janaza came out of a 2000 square yards home. And the other one's janaza also came out from a similar home in a similar posh locality. This son of mine is so inconsiderate that even after he has money, he only has a 500 yards house. So when I die, I want that my house, my janaza also leaves from a big 2000 yards house. So this havas and this thing that you have, the whole thing that you have all your life, you can't forget about it even on your deathbed. Because that is your priority number one. His maal was priority number one. Right? And whatever it is your priority number one, that will come out at the time of your death. So, people say, mashayikh say, that, you know, if you have thought about God all your life, agar aapne Allah Ta'ala ke baare mein hamesha Allah Ta'ala ka yaad ki har waqt, to marte waqt bhi Allah Ta'ala hi yaad aayega. Right? And if you've talked about something else, so they will remember that. So there was this guy who used to drink a lot, right? So when he was dying, so his people around him, they were giving him that kalma, and they were reciting kalma very loudly so that he could also, and they were telling him to, you know, recite the kalma. But you know what was coming out of his mouth? It was coming, khud bhi pi mujhe bhi pila, khud bhi pi mujhe bhi pila. Because all the time he was thinking about drinking. So even at that point in time, he was thinking about drinking. And the hadith says that, you know, whoever says la ilaha illallah at the time of his death, you know, he will be sent to Jannah. So imagine the priority setting that we have in our lives that impacts it even on your deathbed. And the priority setting that the Anbiya had, this is giving you an example, that the priority setting that the Anbiya had was talk about deen. So first he gave this wasiyat. You know, that I give you this wasiyah that do not die except that you are a Muslim. And then he asked further, so my dear sons, who are you going to worship after I have left? Qalu, they said. Who said? The son said, Na'budu ilaha kawa ilaha abaika Ibrahim wa Ismail wa Ishaq. So we will worship you, worship your God, your Lord, and the God of Ibrahim alayhi salam, your forefathers. We worship your God and the God of your forefathers, Ibrahim and Ismail and Ishaq. Right? So it's not that we will worship someone of our own desires and our own choice. We worship your God, and then it's the same God that we're going to worship, who is the God of Ishaq al-Islam and Ismail al-Islam and your forefather Ibrahim al-Islam. So basically what they're saying is that we are connecting to the same line. We are not going to deviate from that line. It is the same thing. The Sirat al-Mustaqim, the same thing that we are going to follow. This is basically Sirat al-Mustaqim, Sirat al-Lazina Namta alayhim, right? Of the people who are basically of on whom Allah Ta'ala has given His bounty, His ni'mat, right? So the true path is the path that you had and your forefathers had, and we are going to not change that path, we are still going to follow them. So that's the pledge that they made, not the pledge that the Yahudi said that, you know, they pledged to become, and Hazrat Yaqub Islam made the pledge, made the wasiyat of them becoming a Yahudi. They said, no, that's not any religion. The true path is the path that you had told us, and your forefathers were also following. Ilahu wahida, and then they further clarify, it's the same God, and it's the one God, right? And wa nahnu lahu muslimun, and this is the answer of the same thing, right? And we are Muslims, we are submitters, we are the ones who submit ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is talking about those people who basically are the sons of a messenger, such a great messenger, and such a big nasal, such a big tribe that these children were to become, that, you know, Bani Israel was called Bani Israel, and, you know, those 12 tribes that were always there. So imagine that, how countless of centuries that these guys were to be the spearheads of a nation that was so favorite of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for years and centuries and centuries. So what are they pledging? They're pledging that we will remain Muslims, we will worship only one God, ilahu wahidahu, وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ, and we are the ones who submit to him, right? So he's saying وَلَا أَنْتُمْ إِلَّا أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, and do not die until the time that you are Muslim, until the time that you are willing, that you are submitting every moment of yours. And they say that it is the one God towards whom we are submitting. So they have answered this. Now this is also very important, because another important aspect here is that most people is that, you know, first thing is that the tarbiyat of children is very important, right? And has to go all your life. It is a job that you have to do all your life, for your sake as well as your children's sake, right? At every point in time, your children have to understand that the deen is priority number one choice. When faced between a choice, you will choose deen, right? And that has to emit from your actions and your words and everything that you say and do. So for example, imagine that, you know, in this particular situation, what is he saying? He's saying that, what is he exhibiting? He's exhibiting that even if I were to leave this world, when I'm leaving this world, I'm not talking about anything else, I'm talking about deen. And I'm taking this pledge from you so that you can stay on deen, because if you stay on deen, you're going to get the blessings of the dunya as well. But if you leave deen, your dunya is also destroyed and your deen is also destroyed, akhirat is also destroyed. Another important thing is that, you know, this wasiyat also tells that, and the first thing is also wawasa biha Ibrahim banihi, as in his Ibrahim al-Islam was also wasiyat, giving the wasiyat to his children. What it means is that being the son of a prophet, as Quran has several times shown as well, is no guarantee for you, for your success in this world, right? Being of a high standard of life, as in a high family, your parents were some very good mashayikh and your waliullah, does not mean that you will also go to Jannah, right? It is your actions. It is your actions that will take you to Jannah, nothing else. In fact, we have a hadith which says, and, you know, anyone who puts his acts behind him and his lineage before him, and that basically, which means is that, you know, does not act upon deen, but thinks that, you know, he's from a great lineage and that will protect him, so he will not be protected. So his lineage cannot take him to Jannah, basically. That's the mafhum of the hadith. So that is what Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam was taking the pledge from these people, and this is what these people have further said. Can you take the next slide, please? Next slide, one. Yeah, so next slide is Tilka ummatun qad khalat laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum wa la tasaluna amma kanu ya'malun. Tilka ummatun qad khalat, so that was one group, one nation, one group that has passed, you know, that is gone. Laha ma kasabat, and it is for them whatever they have done, the reward of whatever they have done is for them. وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ, and for you is the reward of what you are going to do. Kasab means basically the reward or the jaza of whatever you do, right? So you will have the reward for yourselves, and they will have the rewards for themselves, right? وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ أَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and you will not be asked of what they have done, right? You will not be asked of about their actions. You are not responsible for their actions. Now this ayat is establishing two, three important points. One is it is connecting with the same thing and the last point that I mentioned in the previous ayah, which is basically people put their nasab before them, right? And they forget their amals. A lot of people who say that, you know, we are Sayyid and we will be saved just because we are Sayyid in our history as well. And Jews also have this superiority complex that they think that being Jews, you know, we will be saved. Just because we are from the Bani Israel, you will be saved. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that, you know, they are a group that has gone before you. Whatever they did was before you, they are gone. They have done whatever they did wanted to do, they are gone. Now, don't think that whatever they good that they did, you're going to get benefit out of it. What they did, they are now responsible for it. They will get the benefit, the azab, the sawab, whatever it is for them. Your forefathers are gone. Now it is your job and your amal which will decide your afterlife, right? So what he's saying, what Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is saying is, "La ma kasabat la lakum ma kasabtum." So it is for you, for them what they did, and for you what you are going to do. Another important aspect here is that, you know, the Jews and the Christians, they believe that the children are going to be part of the saza or the jaza, the reward or the azab of the good and bad deeds of their parents. So this ayat is also dispelling that belief that no, don't think that, you know, if your parents were responsible or did something wrong, you will also get the guna for that. So the concept of sinning of elders and then that trickling down, the trickle down effect does not exist in the religion of Islam. So they had this concept of the original sin, right? That they had this original sin and we are all trying to pay for this original sin. So this is not how it is. This is not how the religion of Islam looks at this. And so it is saying that, you know, la ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum wa la tusaluna amma kanu ya'malun, and you will not be asked about what they do. Now this ayat is also establishing another factor that today what we do is that, you know, we are worried about what other people are doing, right? So whenever we have an argument, we say, oh well, he also did it, right? Why didn't you stop him? In our offices, in our settings, in our environment, with our siblings, with our children, we find this. You know, why didn't you stop him? Why did you do this with him? Why was this person allowed this 5 years ago? Why was this person allowed this 2 years ago? Why aren't we being given this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that thing is gone. Whatever it is that has happened with them, it is gone. Do not worry about what has happened with them. Worry about your own actions. Don't poke your nose in other people's matters. What we do today is that, you know, we say, no. We want to understand how this has happened and we want to talk about them and why are they doing this, and we want to interfere in everyone else's things, right? This is what the Sahih is telling them, us, that, you know, do not interfere in other people's stuff. That is not important. What is important is that you focus on what you are doing. Why? Because وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ, for you is what you have done, right? For you is a reward of your actions. So why are you worried about what your father did or your brothers did or your other people did? Whatever they did is gone, is with them. Now they will be held responsible for them. And you have to be held responsible for your own actions. And that is a core principle in terms of the social interactions that we need to have. We should understand that it is whatever it is that other people are doing, right? We should not try and you know, worry about them so much. I mean, obviously, khair khwahi is a different thing, but worry as in, you know, start to say that, you know, why aren't you trying to do this way? Why aren't you trying to do it this way? Especially trying to set things right, which other people have done already, is when it's not your matter, don't interfere. That's what the deen is saying. Does not mean that, you know, you do not try and stop burai. Does not mean either that, you know, do not be a khairkha, a well-wisher of people. Just that, you know, don't be excessive towards them. Don't make it a habit of just trying to criticize other people, right? Or just trying to say that, you know, that is why, and trying to find faults with other people and making that an excuse for your actions or your lack of action or your wrong action. So this is what this ayah is saying. So we'll inshallah stop this one here. I won't do ayah number 135 because that's slightly starting of another topic. Inshallah that Hazrat will come back and take over from here. Let me just take you through the translations of the ayahs before. So ayah number 132. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And Ibrahim al-Islam enjoined his sons by will, and Yaqub al-Islam also did that. Ya bunayya, O my sons, inna Allah astafa, verily Allah Ta'ala has chosen for you lakumuddin, chosen for you the deen. Fala tamutunna, so do not die, illa wa antum muslimun, except that you are a Muslim, except that you have submitted. Am kuntum shuhada'a is hazara Yaqub al-maut. Were you there when, were you a witness when death was approaching Yaqub al-Islam? Is qala libanihi, and he said at that time, when he said libanihi is means when, right? So at that point in time, when he said libanihi to his sons, ma ta'buduna min ba'di, who will you worship after me? Qalu na'budu ilahaka wa ilaha abaika Ibrahima. So they said, Nabudu ilahaka, we will worship your God. Wa ilaha abaika Ibrahim, and the God of your forefather, of your fathers Ibrahim, wa Ismail wa Ishaq, and Ismail and Ishaq. So and one more thing on this one is that, you know, they're taking care of the tarteeb, right? They were so respectful. They said, first of all, we'll take the name of Ibrahim al-Islam, and then Ismail al-Islam, and then Ishaq al-Islam. Even though they could have started off by saying Ishaq and Ibrahim, and not even mentioned Ismail al-Islam, because Ismail al-Islam was not their father, right? It was their chacha, their uncle. But they went along the proper way. Abaika Ibrahim wa Ismail wa Ishaq, ilahum wahida wa nahnu lahu muslimun. The one God, and we are indeed submitting towards him. We indeed submit towards him. Next ayat. Tilka ummatun qad khalat. That was an ummat that has passed. That was a group that has passed. Laha ma kasabat wa lakum ma kasabtum. For them is the reward for what for their actions. Wa lakum ma kasabtum, and for them, for you, is the reward for your actions. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ أَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and you will not be asked of what they have done. So this is the crux of these three ayahs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to be people who believe and to be people who submit immediately to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all our matters. And may Allah ta'ala help us implement this ayah in the best of ways. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.